said you're working on getting people in our communities to foster kids so they don't have to be taken out of our care, out of, like, taken away from us,
well,
like, out of our reach.
Yeah, what happened in Hopedale is that Kia came in and got, I think it's three or four hundred, I'm not quite sure, that they got children in so that they could be taken care of in the community. And Kia, like I said, is also looking at expanding to Nain in the near future. I'm not exactly sure when they will be coming here, but they're looking at it a little bit different model than the Hopedale one. So it's to be the way they're going to lay out their format is not quite clear yet. I think that they might help support people in their families more than they have taken it. But that's to be drawn out yet. So, and the other one that I mentioned that doesn't flex well for people who's at risk of losing their children, and they will have a, like, this unit will be up probably in a year and a half time, and there will be programs in place so that it can help people to keep their children so that they're not at risk of losing their children.
And I was wondering if that's really good that they're doing that, and I was wondering if they would do anything about the ones that are already out of our reach.
I think that's where Kiev is going to come in more, too, is to try to bring children back, like Johannes mentioned, that we didn't meet with the premier of the province 2 weeks ago, and we certainly stressed that we want our children, whichever way we can, brought back to the village. And hopefully that they're listening. I mean, we're advocating that we make sure that the children be brought back to our community.
There's a lot of people at risk of losing their children, and I was wondering if you all knew the way they're assisting the families and what they're doing to the families. Like, I know some throughout Labrador, I heard some women's stories. There's one, she couldn't post anything on Facebook without her worker calling. Another woman, the social worker comes by to look in her window, see if there's anything wrong. The social workers go to the school without the parents' consent and talk to the children individually. And it's going on long.
Yeah, and that's, I think, when Johannes also talked about our 7S, that's part of the thing, that we certainly want the social service to be more open and transparent and be culturally aware of, do some training around the culture of the people in the
village.
Yeah.
They could just play. It's nice to, like,
Yeah.
the way they assess the families. They should be assessing how they're doing their jobs to the social workers.
We're certainly on to it, and we're certainly advocating all the time to make it better for the people in the
Yeah, thank you, Susan, for your courage, you know, to speak to this very serious issue. And our meeting with the Premier and the Minister a couple of weeks ago was the first step. From that, we want to start talking about what you're talking about, you know, what other people need to talk about, and so that we can, you know, hopefully have the Premier and the Minister and the Government of Newfoundland and Labrador change their focus of understanding, because the way they understand is not the same as ours, and so we want to do that, to make them understand who Labrador Inuit are and where Labrador Inuit what our culture and way of life is, and that we're not Newfoundlanders, we're Labradorians. So that how we see things, how we, you know, feel and things like that, we want them to better understand what is, you know, what it is about the Labradorian land claim agreement. We hope that they will better understand, you know, that agreement, so that they will, you know, honor, you know, the spirit of the agreement. And that's quite difficult, quite challenging right now, but we're not going to give up. We're going to continue to, you know, say to the Premier and the Minister on this issue and other issues too, because it's not just about, you know, our children and our grandchildren and our seniors, you know. I've invited the Premier to come to Nunavut to, you know, meet with us to see our communities, to, you know, get a feel of you know, what Nunavut is like, to you know, see for himself, and hopefully better understand what Labrador need to go through.
And maybe if he heard from people like this young woman and other young women about the struggles and the children being taken away, it might help him, because they don't understand, they don't hear or something.
I just wanted to point it out to Salt Lake. When you know something wrong is going on, that's when you call about the problem. But you shouldn't go poking around and assuming things. And for that, I think there's a lot of children got taken away for that wrong reason.
So that meeting was a couple of weeks ago, was the first step, but we're going to need your help, you know, when we make other steps to move forward.
Thanks.
Buddy?
Yeah, I'd like to have after you mentioned about environmental. What kind of environmental were you talking about? I guess in this one we have a little bit of environmental problem because of some empty jars with the oil in it, turning rusty. And there's no way we can get it out because it's inside the bay. And I don't know how they're going to take it out because it's a great big pond about a couple of miles long and about a mile wide. Just, we managed to take out two drums that are loaded. It's about 4 or 5 hours loaded. It's just to take it out. And there's some charcoal up there. And there's a big trout in there. The birds and that goes in there. If you have any, if you have anybody goes up there in charcoal, I reckon the chopper will take that out.
So the chopper can take it out, you think?
Yeah, just only way to take it out because you can't roll it. Okay, go all over the place.
Carl, are you aware?
Basket or basket or net on to take it out.
Are we? You know, for aware of this?
I don't know. We could be, Daryl, but I'd have to confer with Bernie and Rock, because I might be part of the exploration camp process. But I'd have to. I'll get them to check into it.
We'll check
maybe it. Contact you directly.
It's been you a long time.
Okay.
It's been a long time. Before we went to Hebron, it's been you a long time.
So it's inside Hebron?
North side of Hebron.
North side of Hebron.
It might even identify as part of the Rose Project. I'm not sure.
Could be, but I'll
get... We'll check it.
We'll check with the Rose Project where it is.
Yeah.
Well, my boys are all getting over there.
Okay.
Because I'm in Hebron 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
Right? And I'd like to ask Johannes too, more if anybody. For the past 9 years, we've been working there. We've been there for and there we got a, what do you call it, Quebec and Choppers going to Labrador. every year, I'm here to do the walking. We do. And when we try to get the name, the idea for coming up people with us and including a court card, he all disappeared. Somehow they leaked out somebody or something. They leaked, were leaked out, and they went, they fight it right high, and then when the deer four started coming, they disappeared. So we let to go up inside the heat and look around for a fortune in Quebec. I don't know if I had out to fishing on Labrador side, on the Quebec side.
There was seven planes there, too?
Yeah, there was seven last year.
Seven.
Seven
Cessna plane.
The deer was
flying over.
The deer four had voices to get their number, right? So they can record where they can find out where they come from. But they fly it. But they don't fit to. The deer four come to Lima. Somehow they, all of the deer four come. They disappear. Sometimes they're sharp, we can see them. To share about the tender and we know that the top is flying from First Canada, we get them on radio. They go up to First Canada and then back again and they're there down. Sometimes they take tell us where the top is going, they go to Panaima, or some of them. Come on,
one more thing to say. I know a lot of people, there was fuss about the workers in the COIFS. There should be some workers in there who have a family, because there's a lot of complaints about the workers who don't have any children don't really know what to say. And how difficult it could be to be a parent, and they should be getting parents, more parents in the CYS.
Yeah, that's what we're working at. We're looking at all areas of how we can better help, you know, children, youth, and families. Yeah, it's just about 10 o'clock, and you have any more questions, you can call, write letters. And the best thing to do is to write so that we can respond, you know, to your comments or questions, and to the right department. I know talking helps, but sometimes talking don't get us anywhere. So it's better to correspond. And your knowledge, your understanding is very important to Nunatsiavut government. And hopefully, we can write to each other more, and maybe even give reports of things that are going on within Nunatsiavut that we don't know about and should know about. Nakumbik haiwan haiwati agiyarami ikayawati inuluta ikayawati iyahata. Okay, makasiyani kawa ma kawa yung magun na mat inuhuting it ukalap pata.
Can I say something like that? I don't know if you guys can do anything about
As board of directors member for ITK, for Labrador Inuit and the four Inuit regions have talked about that now. At ITK level, that we need rehab centers within the four regions, so that we don't have to send people who want to go for treatment anymore. But again, it's a personal choice, you know, if you want to stop drinking or using. But we believe that it would be that much easier, you know, if we had a center, you know, like in Nunavut, for example. And I think too that it would be more encouraging, you know, people who are powerless, you know, to stop drinking or stop using. I believe that we need, you know, training of our own, like yourself, for example, you know, to help yourself or to help others. And I believe that, you know, we can pass it on, you know, generation to generation, if we had our own, you know, helping to sober up or stop using. So it begins with us, you know, to stop the cycle, you know. And we are the ones that can stop that cycle. I know that there is a lot of history on intergenerational trauma, of relocation and residential schooling. And even the Spanish influenza caused a lot of trauma, you know. So the history, and then a lot of young people like yourself don't know that history. And so there is an identity crisis, you know. People don't know who they are or where they come from. They don't know what happened 100 years ago. And they wonder, or you might wonder, why am I like this? So we have to help, you know, the younger generation of why is it that I feel the way that I do? And it's spiritual too, you know, because the spirit is passed on to the next generation. So there's so much to learn, so much to know about who we are and where we are. You're right, you know, that it is an issue and it needs to be looked at.
Yeah. So, Johannes, I just want to make a comment as well, because these two came to me about a year ago, wanting to start a process to get their kids back. They've done everything they can right now to, and they've done what was asked of them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And these are perfect examples that we've gone through with the fostering system and the whole child, youth, and family services issue. We've had parents like these who have come a long way, and yet there's no movement on the other side. A year has come and gone, and they still don't have a child. They're working on it. It's working on it. These are just one examples of families within the community who've been impacted so much because of the lack of services to child youth and family services. We all recognize that here, but I just wanted to point out there are examples of working with the system, doing what they can, doing what they are asked of them, yet still don't have their children. They take a little bit more time, but what more can they do? I'm not sure. So it's not only with one family, but it's with many families like that within this community. So, and yeah.
I think Michelle Kinney might be able to advocate on their behalf. Hey, great.
Yeah,
because they won't talk to elected officials. I've tried to talk to them. They won't talk to me. But because there's an MOU signed, they will talk to Michelle Kinney.
And we did discuss that MOU at the premier.
Yeah.
So she might be able to help.
So that's why we met with the premier and the minister a couple of weeks ago, you know, to get the ball rolling on, you know, working the way, you know, the Labrador Inuit work, rather than Newfoundlanders trying to try to tell Labrador Inuit how to live a way of life. Tama?
When I was pregnant, I went to treatment in the men, and they tried to ask me if I wanted to move down there and go into a family center. They said they called in the center they had a meeting a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we hope to stop that, you know, we hope to stop relocating, you know, Labrador Inuit to the island, you know, and where you don't know anybody down there, and you don't have your culture, your language down there, and whoever's moved down there, we're working to bring them back, and so the premier and the minister has to understand that, but we're continuing to work at that. But that work is, you know, sometimes takes a long, long time to straighten out. And we have to come up with agreements, you know, with the provincial government. But we're working on it. Okay, it's 10 o'clock now, and Lakumik for coming here, and thank you for all your, you know, information and all your concerns and your comments and your questions. Nakumik.